we need to actually look at. I already sort of start accumulating some of those things.
Yeah.
Different from what they have said.
Yeah. So, do we have something to look at, Stephen?
Yeah, frequency distributions.
Frequency distributions.
With and without writes. The x-axis is just
time.
Unique addresses. I didn't have the actual addresses there because obviously you become pretty much unreadable.
Yeah.
The y-axis is in log scale. It starts at 1.
Okay.
So I would assume that all the white space that you see on the right side is just things that are with 1 frequency.
Mm-hmm. This is interesting. What is the difference between left and right?
That's just home 0, and the one on the right is home 1. Below that is the without rights.
That's interesting. There seems to be hardly any difference. Well, actually, there is.
Yeah.
But the thing is, even without the rights, it's kind of interesting behavior here. So this is 2, right? This is 2?
Yeah, I believe that's 2.
That's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Something like that, right. What's the other one? So basically, this is just clip this side off.
Let me see if I can click through here. Yeah.
Right, you clip the...
So there's a whole bunch with 1. There's a 2.
No, that's
there's,
2.
And all of this is 1, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I believe
all
that.
Of this right here.
Because a logarithmic scale wouldn't start at 0.
Yeah. And then...
So when you plot here, up to here, that means the old fill is 1.
Yeah, these are all 1s.
All 1s. So it's
these
just
are all
2s.
These are all 3s, 4s, 5s. This is interesting.
So let's look at the other one. I guess actually comparison is better. So this one goes to 350. That goes to 450. So that means about 100,000 pure writes.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Something missing.
This one goes to 180.
Let's look at the two fingers side by side. Otherwise, it's
I know it's different.
It's okay.
This is good.
Yeah.
I can reformat.
No, that's yeah, that's good. This is what? This is a. No. Yeah, that's good enough. So.
Yeah, that was the first image I made. So the x-axis I had 0 a little bit more to the right. So that way.
Yeah, you can say in thousands or something in bracket here and then just put 50, 100 and so on. So that it doesn't overlap like this.
Yeah,
I guess you can do that eventually.
I was just trying to get all of them
right.
For the most part.
Yeah, that's good. And there's a whole bunch of ones here, you see? There's a whole bunch of ones.
Yeah, that one's most pure ones. It only gets worse without rights.
And all of these are MSR traces?
Yeah. They're all properly named.
So hold on. So this one, okay, just show the two figures. So this is 90, this is 120. So basically, that's going to be 1. Now, what can I interpret this?
These are just one read.
Because this
one
is
read.
One read.
Yeah, and
and that's a one read
plus one
write. And the plus one write, right? And so there are a lot of just one write. That is
these are all mostly one reads and there are a few one writes. When you
so
have
this
only
is
one write, that's not good.
So this is not so our hypothesis was read after write, or write after read, right? And that it's not what it is. Because that would be the two would be dominating in that case. And then we should be the C1 read in that case. Right? So if our hypothesis was true, that means this one, which is 2, should stretch out. That means that we should have 2 dominating. There is a read and write, right? And then by removing the write, we should have 1 read. And that was not the case in this case because, obviously, is it the same figure, same data set we're looking at? Because that was totally different.
I think it's a different data set we were looking at.
So let's go to the one that we were looking at, Proj, I think.
That one probably is it right there. Proj 0?
No, we were looking at
2 or 3? All of them have a good number of
this
choices.
Is Cambridge?
This is the Cambridge traces.
Huh. I thought we were looking at a source something. Source 1.
Oh.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
right.
Source. Correct.
That's correct. Source 1, 2.
Source 1 or source 2, anyway. So
the one that has a lot of 2s in it.
Oh, there.
This guy.
There you go.
Source 2, 1.
Source 2, 1 has a lot of 2s. And what happens to it?
And just
you go
right here.
We have almost
exactly
250,000 2s, I think, in that one.
No, it's the same, right?
The
it's
same.
Just a, so it's
no rights. No rights in the 2s. Only reads.
That's
not what it is, right? So that's not what we hypothesized.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I'm looking at these figures, there are a whole bunch of 1s in them. So I'm just wondering what's going on with those 1s. Those 1s are the guys that will be churning the cash.
And there is a equal division of right
which is okay, actually. And churning the cash with the 1s is perfectly okay.
Just look at this, too. It's amazing to see that you have 1s, right? Almost 1.6 million. And you reduce that without the right, that's 1.4 million. Almost all. Just 1 access.
Almost all reads.
All reads.
Reads or 1 reads.
Right. And run read just touched it.
So our cache replacement algorithm is going to be ineffective in the range of 1s. The only time it starts becoming effective is in the range of 2s. So if the cache size is anywhere in this range, in particular from here to here.
Not just your cache mechanism, any cache mechanism will not do good with just 1 access, right?
No, any cache replacement algorithm will maintain all of these guys in the cache. So when an access from here comes in, it won't throw out an access.
It will throw out
one of these other guys, which is why the cache replacement algorithm is important to have.
Right.
So that it doesn't throw out one of these important guys. It just throws out one of these guys.
Right.
In this range, what will happen is that the cache replacement algorithm will churn all the 2s, which is not good.
I'm trying. So in this range.
In this range of cache
sizes. Let's look at the first one.
Oh, in this range of cache sizes.
That's won't do anything.
So turning off the cache replacement algorithm or turning it on, either way, doesn't make any difference.
The reason being
that every item gets accessed only once.
Only once. So the cache is just ineffective.
Ineffective.
In
for these items. But
for
it's
these,
still effective for these items.
For these items, because there is obviously importance in terms of
once,
reusability or something like that. Right,
because they get reused. So once the cache is populated with these items, it's safe to turn it off. If the cache size is here. Actually, if the cache size is anywhere in this range, the only time it becomes more tricky is here. So we have this huge range of stable, let's call them frequencies, that for all items in that are in this range of frequencies, turning the cache replacement off when the cache size is in this range is actually a good idea. Same here. So for this entire range, from 0 to 300,000, once the cache is populated with the important items, it's best to switch it off. This is a very good case because there's a huge range of twos.
So you have less risk to turn it off.
No, there is a huge benefit to turn it off.
Yeah, or less risk.
But
less risk meaning that the new one comes in, it's less likely to be accessed so frequently. And so by not actually...
It's equally likely as everything else in the cache. It is equally likely. See these all of these twos, right? They're all equally likely to be accessed one more time. So when you bring one in and you fill up the cache, you just freeze the cache.
Mm-hmm.
You don't churn something else.
And, I guess it's hard to really look at it from a frequency domain because there are things coming out there. You all also actually reject them to be in the cache.
No, the whole
right.
point being that you will keep the most important ones in the cache first.
If you can, right?
Mm.
So if they're, that means that they're not coming afresh.
One thing which we need to check here, this is for the stable period. You need to check what's happening in the cache population phase.
Yeah, I was about to say that the behavior and how we get the timing for each one of these blocks would drastically affect whether or not our turning off the cache is effective in the first place. Because what if we got each one of those twos first before we got to anything that was a higher frequency? Or a significant amount of twos before we get to the higher frequency items? While it's all in the stable phase,
we won't cache any of those twos. Even if you get a whole bunch of twos, since the cache replacement algorithm is off, none of those will get cached.
Right.
The expectation is that these guys will be populated in the cache even before this thing starts, even before these axes start, in the cache population phase. This is the stable phase, right? So we have to also identify what's happening in the cache population phase.
So, okay, let me. It's I kept coming back to this. So sorry, it's a little bit dense. So suppose the best scenario, okay, the cache size is here. Okay, so
okay.
somewhere here. Yes.
Let's say yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these things in the cache.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they come.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And of course, replacing anything here, if you replace things here, that has no effect.
No value.
No value at all.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no hurt also.
If it is a 2, yes.
This is 2. So the only thing problematic is this thing replaced that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that costs a detrimental effect because you have to come back again.
Right.
This thing will come
no,
back.
But let me say that even if in this range, right, if you allow replacement, it's
yeah.
possible that you replace once
mm-hmm.
before, and the guy you brought in, before you use it again, you throw it out again.
Well, that's equal risk. I mean, that's
no,
it could
a,
be
it's
either,
an equal
I,
risk, right?
It's
because
a, it's a,
if
so,
if
so,
you freeze these items in the cache, you're guaranteed that they will be in the cache for the second access.
Well,
there
if
you won't be a miss.
Well, if you ignore locality, temporal locality.
If there is temporal locality, then there is a different...
There is a different issue, right? So,
yeah.
So the newly things supposed to be accessed probably more frequent than the old stuff. Hopefully. But that, if the locality actually...
Inside
spent,
the face. This is all happening inside the face.
But your face definition is by miss rate.
Yeah.
Right? So, but that does not really translate into whether you still have locality or not.
within the face, you may have some locality, which
we don't know.
We don't know,
right. But sort of, if locale exists, the downside of turning it off, replacement, is you ignore the locality here. So basically, the even worst scenario, it was one of these guys come and you reject it. You don't put in the cache, right?
Right. So that's the key assumption you're making is that everything is, all of these guys are already in the cache. When the phase becomes stable, before the phase becomes stable.
So
because you're bringing in items from the next phase.
So one observation, one possibility is, you know, just looking at this figure. Let's look at this figure, right? So most likely, things actually exit just twice, right? I don't know whether this is read on or read off. I don't care at this point. So more likely is just to access twice, right? And so access twice items are not really important to some extent, minus the effect of locality. You know, it could be, if it's in the cache, it's a little bit safe, the second access, right? But, you know, disregard that fact is almost, you know, just all these items are sort of, I'd say, equally important to some degree, right? We just don't know. Now, the problem with these things. These things, is, for example, this one, it's like 5,
mm-hmm.
right? And this is like 4 or 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
So these are things we want to keep in the cache. So when you turn it off, you know, I'm thinking about whether it's possible to really have that like a 2Q kind of thing. And you can still stage it to some degree so that when you have multiple access, you can elevate it to be replaced. So it's like
Ricardo is doing.
Okay. Okay.
That's the work that Ricardo is doing. But so we could look at it from that perspective where every individual access is either an on or off decision.
Oh, that's right. Yes, right. Yeah, so you have a sort of like fine-grained decision-making.
Yeah.
And be able to keep track, if you can, without much overhead.
Right. So that's the other way of doing this. This is the more of a clear-cut approach. The other one is an algorithmic change. It's not as simple, you know, the other one can also be looked at as a modification rather than a new algorithm. But here, it's more simple in the sense that you have any cache replacement algorithm, you make it operate in two modes, on and off, and you switch to off whenever you see stable miss rate behavior.
Mm-hmm. These figures are just for a stable phase, or this is for the entire phase?
This is a stable phase, estimated.
Estimated stable.
As you can see, it says from access number X to Y.
Oh, okay. So that's what you think, that's the stable.
Yeah.
If the stable phase pretty much stays until the end, I'll vastly overestimate the access number of the last one. Just to be on the safe side, but yeah,
mm-hmm.
I try and get
that's good. That's good.
What I can get.
So this is interesting, right? I think the next thing we have to do is to find out if the accesses that are in this range are get populated in the cache. What are the contents of the cache? When this starts, actually, yeah, that's the best way to look at it.
So, contents of the cache.
When 300,000.
Okay.
So, 300,000 what?
Contents of the cache at 300,000. Which blocks are there in the cache?
Right, yeah. So, that's when you turn it
off.
For both LRU and
RU? You want to keep the important things,
yeah,
in the cache.
Right, for let's focus on ARC for now.
Just ARC. Right.
because Oracle are actually more selective.
And then it would be important for us to evaluate the on-off behaviors in this range. What happens to the misses?
So,
for a given cache size, let's say we pick a cache size of 150,000.
One way to look at this is from a perspective of simply looking at the frequency. But frequency is always a sort of a, there's a caveat for looking at frequency. Because
it loses temporal locality.
Yeah, it loses temporal locality. So, is that possible to look, this is what it, so you, if you have at the 300,000, here's a cache content,
mm-hmm.
right? I think, you know, Ricardo actually did something. Look in the future, what's that, the reuse
yeah.
distance?
Yeah, they actually found that you can actually make huge improvement in the hit rate with the future information.
Wait, right. No, what I meant here is, you are talking about what's in the cache, right? At 300,000. But what are you going to look at?
The contents of the cache, and then...
And
then match that with what is being accessed during
right.
the phase.
Yes, that's what you're looking at, frequencies again.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is whether it's worthwhile to look at the future use
okay.
of these items in the cache.
At 300,000.
At 300,000. So just take a snapshot, 300,000. And there's content, but there are I/O blocks in there, addresses in there. And we just say, what's your reuse distance?
Okay.
Because those are going to be reused. If it's not going to be reused, that's trash there. Basically, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah. So what the plan now is to take a snapshot at 300,000, compare the items in the cache with these most frequently used items to see if they are there, first of all, and also to know if there are items that are not showing up here in the cache. So we have junk in the cache, which are not going to be used during the phase, which is
right.
what
yeah.
your point is.
Yeah.
So I think it would be important to take one workload and analyze it that way and see what is the fraction of junk in the cache at 300,000. And we need to simulate caches of various sizes. Let's pick one cache size, for instance, 150,000 here, 150,000 blocks or pages. Let's simulate with that cache size for source 2.1 and see what we get.
Okay, simulate source 2.1 at what size?
150,000 pages or blocks, whatever the granularity here is. So you'll have to run the cache replacement algorithm until you get to 300,000 and then freeze it and then look at the contents of the cache. And then match those contents with the items that were accessed between 300,000 and 570,000.
That's interesting.
And see how much overlap there is.
So if you...
How do we know which of those access, which of those items are in the cache?
In the arc, there are two regions, right? So
mm-hmm.
each region is a stack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Each region is a stack. So the things at the bottom are...
Yeah.
Which one is replaced? The top of those are replaced, right?
Yeah.
Whatever, the most precious, most frequently used is going to be at the bottom, right? Is it whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
So there is an importance ranked by arc,
mm-hmm.
right? And of course you have two lists, but there is importance. And the importance is what arc perceives as the, you know, what to keep
mm-hmm.
if it's actually turn up, is going to continue to run.
Yeah.
And maybe we can actually sort of measure that, whether that's the arc.
Well, one thing which we can do simply is to run the algorithm turning the cache replacement off and on during this time period.
Yes.
And then see what we get.
Well,
in terms of miss rate,
there are two outcomes, right? One is higher, one is lower.
Mm-hmm.
And what does that tell us?
That tells us if switching it off is actually helpful in this period or not. So let's pick 150,000 cache size, and then turn the cache replacement on, turn the cache replacement off, and look at the miss rate numbers. Just miss number of misses during this period.
During that period, which we think is stable.
Yeah.
But that's what we got in before.
That's
right?
What we got before.
Well, we run the traces before, right? So I remember Stephen done all the.
Yeah, but that was simple thresholding based, right? We didn't detect phases explicitly.
Oh, so now it's just we
now,
know the phase.
Yeah,
we assume that
we're trying
phase.
To understand why it's working,
right,
or why it's not working by looking at a more deeper inspection of what's going on inside the phase.
I would like to know for the upcoming blocks from this period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, some of them is actually going to be reused. So that means if during this period of time, if you turn it off, these things are going to be
They should be already in the cache at 300,000. At
300,000, right, yes.
They should already be in the cache.
They
if they are not, then it's a problem.
Well, it depends on what's in the cache also. Right.
But
if it's
some
matter.
Of this stuff here in the cache, they're not as important as these guys.
Right.
So these guys should
hopefully should be in the
should
cache.
Be in the cache, which is why we're looking at the snapshot at 300,000.
Right. Yes.
What I was the main reason to do all these plots is so that I can put them in the paper to show that there is some stability of frequency.
So different. So first of all, we observe these things is that they widen.
Look at this. I mean, this is an interesting one, right?
They differ greatly.
So there is a huge stable. There's a bunch of blocks that are
accessed by eight times.
Well, maybe five or six times. Now this is 2, 3, 4, 5. So 5 times, a whole bunch of blocks.
Right.
So if your cache size is somewhere in between in this range.
So
these guys will keep churning a lot.
How about that we do a subtraction here? So it's probably simple enough. Take a look at the 300,000.
Yeah.
In this case, 125,000, whatever
yeah.
it is. And subtracted all those in the cache from these block numbers.
Yeah.
Right? Just to pin them differently.
Let me go back to that other plot
right.
So you're not confused. Where did that go? Yeah, this one, right?
And suppose those are painted blue. If you see a block which is in the cache, when you paint the bar, paint it blue.
Yeah. The thing is that it could be, some could be here, some could be here.
Some could be here, right.
These guys should all be here.
Yes.
They should
all
be blue.
So if we could actually see that.
We won't see it in this resolution. We'll see
yeah.
just bands of blue. It'll be completely bands of blue because when you do a painting, right?
Oh, yeah.
If there are too many blocks in there.
Purple stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
It won't look purple. It'll look blue or red.
Oh,
because
one thing.
Paint
would,
one
well,
thing.
That's
image compression.
Right. Yeah. That's one way, probably not a good way. The other way is actually look at percentages.
Yeah.
Right? Percentage of blocks that, in this case, you know, 5, right?
Yeah.
So how many frequency 5 are
not
blocks?
Not 5. 3.
This is 5.
Oh, 5.
Right?
And
this
is
3. And how many
are...
That's 2.
Yeah.
So we look at all the blocks that are 3, all the blocks that are higher...
Just not percentage, just absolute number, that's fine. So just compare these numbers.
Yeah.
Right? And that will give us at least a sense how many good blocks
mm-hmm.
already be in the cache.
Okay.
And in that case, it's worthwhile to turn out. But if it, on the other hand, it's not, we run a risk.
It's possible that some of these ones are also in the cache.
Yeah.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's possible that there is stuff in the cache which is not even accessed to.
Yeah, we need to think a little bit more.
Because we can't forget this is also estimates.
So this is the whole theory of phasing, right?
The problem with this, what I'm saying is, the behavior varies tremendously. It's, you know, look at all the graphs, it's something like this, something like, you know, going up.
Yeah.
And some of them very high. So that's a...
What do you mean high?
I mean, there's a one just like this, right? So there is only a few ones, very few of these, and most of them, like from here on, all of them are more than five accesses.
Yeah.
So this probably, you know, is if it would be problematic, you would say the cache size is here, and all these things gonna turn out coming back.
Yeah.
And we turn off the replacement, and the time thing, it's probably gonna, you know, it's gonna hit the cache.
Right, here also it's similar, right? Lots of fives.
Lots of fives, yeah. So the behavior
here again.
Why?
Well, actually, it's the same workload. Sorry.
Right. With and without. With and without. Right.
Yeah. This is interesting. Look at this. There's a stable phase here. Here it's stable again.
So this one is actually interesting. Is if the cache size is bigger than this, bigger than this. We don't have a problem, but if it's actually smaller than this, we have a big problem. Because, you know, all those accesses are actually more than what? It's about 10,000.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's one where you divide and turn off the replacement, and you're going to get a big hit on performance.
Well, one way to look at this is if the cache size is somewhere here.
Right, yeah, it's there.
One of these ones is going to throw off one of these guys, which is a bad thing.
Mm.
It's better to turn it off.
Mm. Well, if the cache content... Right, so...
Here, I mean, all of these ones. It's important to look at the snapshot, add this number. Does it have all of these guys or not?
I suspect not. Because it's a long period of time, right? During all this period of time.
At this time.
No. Right, yeah. At that time, and then you got to have a lot of...
But
it's
the reason, yeah, it's a stable period.
It's a stable period, yeah. So you have two meanings of a stable period. One meaning is the cache miss is actually reaching the miss rate, missing, sort of reaching something static, and it won't change too much. The other, what you meant by stable period, is the application behavior or I/O behavior sort of stabilizes. Things should be in the cache, it's already been in the cache, and things kept on churning should be sort of keep on churning.
Yeah.
And that's stable. So there's no dramatic sort of a phase shift in the algorithm and in the programs.
Yeah.
Right?
So I think the reason we pick these periods as phases because no new items got added to the cache. Actually, that's a good point.
Yeah. That's...
No new items got added to the cache. So add the snapshot, all of these guys are already there.
So...
They're all there.
That's why.
What do you mean?
I think we can exploit the ghost LRUs that way during long periods or just some periods where we just always have a hit. That we might be able to potentially look at that as a potential phase. So I don't know what else we can do from there. Maybe make it a 2Q, make it something to allow a bit of frequency to have some effect, maybe.
The thing is that, you're saying when you use the ghost LRU, if it's a hit in the regular LRU as well as the ghost LRU, then it's a stable phase.
The world's slightly be in a stable phase, yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, see, in this period, right, there are no new items.
What do you mean by new items?
Meaning that all of these addresses have already been seen before.
How are you sure about
that? That's how he's extracting this range, by visually inspecting, are there new items being added?
Yeah, the set information.
Oh, that's right. You look at the cumulative, whatever,
yeah.
that problem.
Go ahead and use that.
Right.
So, I mean, when we have the ghost cell, are you assuming it's large enough to contain the entire phase? Well, anyways, the ghost cell, you're going to have four possible conditions. And let's just do that. So you have a hit here, you hit here, hit, miss, miss, hit, and miss, miss.
Yeah. Ghost L, are you being, I just want to catch up so that I don't get lost. Ghost L, are you means what?
It's an LRU that we have that will keep track of, with metadata, the last four times the cache size accesses it. So that way we can more easily detect the phases.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming that they are larger than the cache size.
I mean, assuming that the items accessed in a phase are larger than the cache size.
And the four times means that just you kept a stack running, algorithm running, with a size four times whatever your chosen yeah.
holding just purely metadata. Okay. So, I mean, if we have a ghost LRU, which is a hit and a hit on the arc, then that means just we're using something probably really recent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
A hit and miss, we might be in the phase if it's off. And that's fine. That means it's a more recent item that we're going back to that arc already evicted.
Mm-hmm.
A miss in the ghost LRU, but a hit in arc? That's just something with the arc thing, and I'm not exactly sure how that situation can pop up after we go through so
frequency
many.
Frequency based.
Yeah. It has to be something with frequency.
Yeah, it has to be something to do with frequency based.
And miss and miss is completely new item, pretty much.
Yeah.
Assumption. So there's these four different states. The question is, how can we then use the ghost LRU to how do we use this ghost LRU to our advantage in order to not just guess or detect these phases, but utilize it in a way that we can also maybe hold certain ones based on the frequency used within the phase.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think number one possibility there.
Yeah, I would assume that this.
Sorry, well, number one and number two.
I see these three as the most important ones. I don't really see a situation other than just arc holding on to something that was access frequency for the last one.
Yeah, what I'm saying is that if you have a stretch of accesses where it's either number one or two,
we're probably in a phase.
Then we are probably in a phase.
Yeah, that's what I would assume as well. And so that's one why I really liked it when you had mentioned it and we talked about the ghost LRU in the first place, because I saw that just like if the cache was infinite size, that if we stopped getting anything unique, so in this case, if we didn't miss anything, that we should be in a phase, because the number of new items is none.
Yes.
Or minimal.
Yeah.
So
it's hit. Either if it's... Well, it's possible that there is a hit in arc and a miss in ghost LRU. It's possible. Number three is possible.
It's possible.
But it's less likely.
Okay.
The last one, miss and a miss, that means we are in a phase change.
Most likely.
So it's not a stable phase.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you say stable, that means the numbers.
Meaning that the set of items in the cache are already the most important in the current duration.
Hit. You mean, then, yeah, I understand.
So you collect all these numbers. Let's suppose you collect all four of them, even though the third one is probably unlikely.
Yeah.
Let's collect all the numbers. You collect the percentages. Is that what it is?
No, no, no. What I'm saying is that if there is a long stretch of time when the cache is continuously either case one or case two, then you can conclude that the workload is in a stable phase.
The question is, how quickly do we react to this?
It's possible that there is a miss in the ghost LRU and miss in ARC if this, the working set is larger than four times the cache size.
That's always a possibility. In fact, if you look at one of the smallest ghost LRUs that I have for the set information, the, I think, 128 megabytes or whatever, you see a graph that for the regular set info, which has an infinite cache size, you see this behavior, but in the other one you see this. So there's definitely the possibility to completely miss it, but it's hard to get a picture of what's going on.
One thing which we can do is, if instead of saying if there's a steady stream of events that are either case one or two, instead of that, if we say that if there is a steady stream of events where 95% of the axes are either case one or two, then we are in a stable phase. So instead of taking, let's say...
Yeah, this allows for some slope.
Yeah, just look at some, last few and take a percentage. So what will happen when there is a phase change is you will have case four, and slowly that percentage will start climbing. And
so,
then we say we are in a phase change.
So basically you're looking at percentages.
Hmm.
Anyway, so it's just a window,
so
actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a moving window again.
Mm-hmm.
So,
alternately, we make the ghost LRU very large. But then that doesn't help, because we make the ghost LRU very large and there is a phase change. We'll see a hit in the ghost LRU and we'll conclude that we are still stable. That's not good. So the ghost LRU shouldn't be too large.
So how large do you think?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be large enough to contain the phase, but...
Yeah, four times is, I guess, it's... I'm trying to think what is the criteria here. Why did we pick four times?
I think
we wanted to account for the fact that the working set could be four times as large as the cache size.
Yeah.
And it could be any number. Right. Well, we have issue here. If you have a size too large, like infinite, approaching infinite, we wouldn't be able to detect phase change. So
yeah.
So it's a false negative and false positive issue, right? So
yeah.
So it's
that's true. It all depends on what working set we end up with. But one thing,
so this is back to stable phase detection.
Yeah.
Right?
We still don't have a very reliable mechanism.
We don't have a reliable mechanism
to detect phases yet. We just have a visual inspection.
I sort of think, looking at misses and hits, we are looking at aggregate. So to really have a detect. Now, that's just my belief, which is unfounded at this point. We really need to look at the traces and look at their pattern behavior to detect phases. This is just my thinking, sort of a larger scale thinking. And
what is what doesn't help that? I mean, I'm not saying that's not worth doing. I'm saying the thing that doesn't help that sort of detailed investigation is that our phases are imperfect. Because there's already a lot of filtering going on.
Right.
In the higher up in the stack. So what we are seeing is like
it's a trail of the front level cache behavior, right? So what's being leaked out on the network over to the server, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what I suspect is these accesses have their individual pattern. So what I meant by that, so there are for example, right through whatever the things, and there are sort of write back, for example, right? You can see the IO traces going, say, sequential. It's, you know, this one and that one and that one and that one and that one. I observed that at least from the traces, the FIU traces. And there are traces like that. And there are traces like sort of more of a stable behavior. There's always sort of a reuse and that sort of thing. So that's a composite. Sort of, this is a composite behavior. In the end, it was like, just looking at this is going to be a composite behavior because this one always generates hits, and this sort of increases in the, sort of a scanning through the address space.
Mm-hmm.
That's another behavior. And that behavior, you can't really capture it using the cache because that's...
You can.
Well,
ARC does. Right,
to some degree.
It has a recency list, and the size of the recency list can be controlled. Or it changes the frequency and recency sizes.
Right.
So if there is,
good point.
There
good
is
point.
A scanning access, it will go into the recency, and then it will be controlled. The size of that will be controlled.
Good point. And if that's the case, suppose we actually, instead of a Gauche IRU, a Gauche ARC, of an infinite size of something that's sort of captured, there's some level of, so that's what I was thinking is we have to really sort of get down to individual behavior, because in the end the accurate behavior is a composite of everything, and in order for us to really detect the phases, that means that for whatever the phases, it's just the shifting between one behavior become more, the other become less, and that's sort of a detect as a phase shift, and sort of more definitively sort of define that.
Yeah.
And for all these ghost LRU, the problem with that is we don't know work set size, and you set 4, you set 3, you set 10, you set 400, so whatever that is. That is just a matter of whether we tune that to a particular sort of maybe a workload.
I think the reason I picked 4 is because then, I mean, we can create a metric such as a percentage of accesses that hit in the ghost LRU, as well as the main replacement mechanism like ARC. We can use a percentage there to say, okay, if it's beyond a certain percentage, then we are fine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's possible that the ghost LRU doesn't capture the entire working set, and it's okay. But it's capturing most of it.
How about this? I mean, here's an idea.
Mm-hmm.
How about this? Because that's actually what ARC, the ARC, is trying to capture. There is a frequency domain, and there is a, whatever, the LRU, the reuse. Right, and there's a transit.
Yeah.
Right. So transit meaning that something actually in one list actually going promoted in another list, and someone that gets got demoted.
No, there is no demotion.
Or just flush, right? And those percentages of those things happen may be an indicator. Right, so there's a in your work.
That's what ARC does. Actually, ARC uses those events to control the sizes of these.
Right,
tables.
But we don't.
We don't.
We use those things as the indicator of phases. So we do detection here. So basically, suppose this is a stable phase. So in that case, there's got to be a percentage of some kind of frequency things that being
used again, and they actually got promoted. So there is a percentage of those X percent of those things that are actually going to be promoted. There are things that are actually going to be flushed out. These are sort of indicators that things are actually unstable.
Well, in my mind, if it's stable, the sizes of these two lists are going to be stable as well.
Mm-hmm.
So which means there's no promotion going on.
Well, you gotta think about the locality that happens. Right? So, no. What I think is, I'm coming from the queuing theory thing, it's gonna be arrival, there's gonna be departure. It's, you know, in a stationary behavior, it's just the arrival and departure sort of stabilizes. So there is a sort of something that actually going to be there and something going to be flushed out. Because you have locality, you have temporal locality there, there got to be something new accesses coming in. Whatever the program is, they're going to actually go do things. And
but see, this is the thing, right? I mean, program is happening at a much higher level.
Right, yeah.
And there are layers and layers of layers going
on. Or whatever the service processes in there.
Right,
that's
the issue here. So, well, one thing which we can do is we can look at other traces, which are file system level. There may be more accurate trace behavior at that level. We are looking at a level where there is even more filtering.
Right, yeah.
So, but there are file system traces where we might have more luck. But if we look at those traces, then we have to evaluate for DRAM cache, main memory cache, which is not out of band. Which is an in-band cache.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to start thinking about eviction areas, right? As
mm-hmm.
opposed to simply not adding, you have to bring it into the cache.
Mm-hmm.
You have to bring it into DRAM before you can access it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little reluctant to go in that direction, although we might eventually end up being forced to go there to look at DRAM caches yet, because then we have our models changed. We can no longer say that our cost model includes things like adding a cost for adding item to a cache, removing from the cache. The cost model will change because you always must add to the cache if it's a DRAM cache.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's possible that we may end up going there eventually, but I'm trying to see if we, because that's more difficult work to do.
Right.
More difficult convincing. Because here, if we have a cost model, it's easy to sell that idea.
Right. That agree. So let's go for the easiest first.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, not to get to the...
So that's why I don't think our phrases are not going to be as clean cut, like clear cut.
Well, we have... So this is what I'm thinking, that the ARC basically... There is a total size of fixed.
Yeah.
Right.
And
so
then there are events.
There are things
promotion
going,
events that
there's there, there's things gotta flush out and
mm-hmm.
so on and so forth. So there are, so if I say, if I look at this, the this is a sort of a blocks request
mm-hmm.
coming in. And that into two things. One is a queue of
first, they go into that recency list.
Right, but if it's there, it's a hit, right?
And then
it'll
go into the frequency
list. It could be just go into the list and actually update the... tell me what the name of the two lists.
Well, there is a...
T1 and T2.
There is a one capture frequency.
T1 and T2.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So that's T1, I mean. Which one is the...
Recency is just T1.
T1.
Frequency is T2.
So recency, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I spell it. Frequency, right?
Yeah.
So let's suppose this is the case. It goes to frequency first, and frequency got promoted to.
No, first it goes into
recency.
Recency.
Okay.
It's a recent access.
It's a very recent access. You go there.
Yeah. And if it gets accessed again,
again.
While it is still in the list, then
it's
it gets promoted.
It's kind of promoted. As this, right?
Wait, but it also could be in B1.
Or it could be in B1 and still
get promoted straight to
T2.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. There is a ghost arc.
Yeah, there's a little ghost list for that too.
So, what I'm thinking is, whether that's reasonable. I think you will not be able to say at a period that the promotion, the percentage of the, or the rate of the promotion is zero. It's not always going to happen because your cash is not going to be big enough. And so no matter what you do, there are valuable things you're going to discard. Otherwise, you've got 100% hit. There's no problem anymore. So there are always going to be something that's going to be turning, and there's going to be something, and there's a reason items going to be.
One
so
possibility is that the items just come into the T1 and go out T1, 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 T1.
It could be,
that's
yes,
possible.
Yes. So what I think is actually if we are
so then there
to
is no
catch,
promotion in that case.
But then the size of T2 would probably decrease. If we have a lot of hits for T1, but nothing.
No,
more.
No hits in T1.
No hits in T1?
No hits in T1.
I mean, we're not, I mean, they're constantly churning, putting stuff into T1. Without going into T2 at all.
Yeah.
I mean, if you don't have any T2 hits.
No, you have T2 hits.
Oh, okay. As long as the T2 is still in
there. Let me suggest this.
Yeah.
How about, we know for sure there are periods that we think is stable, right? By looking at whether
mm-hmm.
there are new accesses or
yeah.
not. We know there's some period
yeah.
of time it's actually there. So how about actually let's collect the
Arguments.
Mm-hmm. And see whether that's actually indicative
mm-hmm.
to faces. And if that's actually...
Great idea.
And in that case, that at least we can have, you know, there's a frequency thing, there's a recency thing, whatever it is.
Then it's a, yeah, we get a whole bunch of events, now we need to figure out if there is a pattern. To
there is
event.
A pattern to be associated with stability of the phase.
Yeah, I think
right.
that would be an interesting thing to do. Within a phase, look at arc events.
Look at arc events and see what happens.
Don't
if
turn
you,
off the replacement algorithm. Keep it on.
Just keep it on.
And look
these
at
the are, this, we use this as a detection. Right, so see whether there's a stability in there. I think it's, well, it could still be it goes to RU, but, you know, that's what I see as a little bit too...
I guess we'll also have to look at non-stable faces to see what is the difference
oh, yeah,
in the pattern
definitely,
here
definitely.
And there.
We just have to look at that for the entire...
yeah, we'll have to take a section of stable and look at arc events, see... And look, come up with a pattern, compare it with the same pattern when there is a phase change.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
see what and see if there is something we can tell.
Right. So we just look at, oh, I just see a light there. So it's a clear sky. there you go. So I guess it's just the number of events. We just see events, promotion, flush, whatever. The
yeah.
kind of events there, and plot the number
yeah.
going up, and actually match that together with that table, the number of
new items
there, sort of superimposed, and see whether you know there's some right there's some stability in there.
And there is some
no.
whether there is some pattern that we can make out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we have periods that are stable, and then see how the events of arc match up with that period versus some other period which is not stable, and see how the
yeah.
how the how many events do we get in arc? I guess we have insert into T1.
Insert into T1, evict from T1.
Insert into T2, evict from T2. Promote from T1 to T2.
Promote from
B1 to
D2.
B1 to D2, right?
Yeah, D2. Sorry.
Does anything get promoted from B1 to B2?
No. You have to be evicting from T2 to get
to
B2.
Get into B2. Yeah. Okay. Okay, so if we have those events, plot those against our time series.
Right.
Of new items that get added. Then if we can match those events against...
We need some aggregate
events.
Yeah. In the sense that, for example, things going to T1,
plus
this thing go to T1,
yeah.
and things evicted from T1,
yeah.
And those are really sort of a sustained rate. You know, eventually that we probably need something to see whether there's...
We need the more interesting metric there.
Right.
To actually get something. But at least we can start with this.
Yeah. At least.
With just these bare, with raw metrics.
Right. But this is separate from our previous discussion in terms of if we actually have a stable period, how important those items are.
Yeah.
In the cache.
Yeah.
Too, because that's
the snapshot of the cache at those items and at those access numbers. And let's just look at two or three different axes. We don't have to do it for everything because this might be a dead end.
So yeah, I have just particularly source 2-1. I'll maybe pick another one. Pick 2 more.
Okay. Yeah, we should wrap up soon.
Yeah. I had a lot of things on the list, but let's see what I can do. Some cool ideas, though.
Yep. Good. So lots of stuff on your plate. I'll trust you to prioritize them.
Yeah, I'll make sure to prioritize them.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Let's have a list of them.
Yeah. And that's one good thing about this project. It seems like there's always things to do.
Yeah.
Meaning that there is no permanent dead ends. They're temporary dead ends, but then we circumvent or move in a new direction.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how research should be. There should be no permanent dead ends. If it does happen, it's a non-ideal scenario, but it does happen, and in that case, you need to have the smarts to recognize that you hit a permanent and do something.
That's always
instead of banging your head against that wall.
Yeah.
Right? It happened. It happened a few times with us too. If it happens earlier, that's better than you are not like so completely vested into the effort.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, it could be something to look in from the perspective. I'm pretty sure there are things that actually haven't actually been looked at.
Mm.
But actually, just purely from the I.O. behavior,
mm-hmm.
one thing that I really need to figure out is how widely, you know, if we look at that, you know, it's a confirmation to my previous fear to some extent. The traces behave totally different, right? If you look at, well, that's not bad thing if we actually
these
have a common factor.
These traces are different than the ones that you were looking at.
But even among these traces,
quite
the behavior is quite different.
Between
them. And the key issue is looking for the common factor, right? Because, you know, there has to be a mechanism that works, hopefully, for, you know, be able to differentiate all different factors and all react to different kind of workload and still actually, you know, provide a superior performance. And that's something that I actually need to require to look at, you know, what's the composite. I mean, that's what I think eventually will come down to some of the metrics and looking at the traces and try to discover what are the things that actually work in our favor and the things that not are actually working. And then by those cases.
Hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
All right,
good. Speed again same time next week.
I see.
You have a nice FIU phone.
I got just too many things I want to read and start sort of accumulating to